First Chronicles chapter 4 and the verse 1. The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal. And Rahiah the son of Shobal begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai, and Lahad. These are the families of the Sorathites. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel and Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Ahazael Ponai. And Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Helah and Nara. And Nara begat Arberhim, Ahuzam, and Hefer, and Temenai, and Ahash, Atari. And these were the sons of Nara. And the sons of Helah were Zerath, and Jazor, and Ethnan. And Koz begat Anub, and Zobibah, and the families of Aharhel, the son of Aharim. And Jabez was more honourable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. May the Lord bless once again the reading of this passage to our hearts this evening. We continue just simply to look at the prayer of Jabez. And last week, or the week before, if you were with us, we simply looked at his name and even the place that is given to this particular prayer. But we return again this evening to continue even in this little study of Jabez's prayer. But we'll unite together and just seek the Lord for his help. Father, we come to thee with thy book open. We pray even now that thou wilt come and that thou wilt speak to us. Speak to us, O God, individually. Speak, O God, to our hearts. May we know the power of the Holy Ghost, even driving home what is of thee tonight, even into the very depths of our hearts. Lord, that thou wilt write it upon our hearts, upon our minds. Lord, that thou wilt give us that encouragement, even as we come to the place of prayer. Lord, that thou wilt tune our hearts together and tune our hearts with thee. Lord, give us that blessed portion of the Holy Spirit even tonight. Give us that unction, give us that clarity. And O God, may Christ be glorified, and may his name be uplifted, even as we come to consider this prayer afresh. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1787, America was seeking to formulate the Constitution of the United States. And that particular convention was going on for some time, and at that convention were representatives from the 13 colonies. And there came a time within that convention that the whole thing was about to collapse. Such was the disagreements between the various colonies, they simply couldn't get on, and they came to the point where they're about to just completely fragment and break up. Just head off in their different directions back to their home colonies and have nothing to do with each other. Arguments were strong and continuous. Didn't matter what they tried, they simply couldn't find unity. They couldn't find peace even amongst themselves. It was at that point that an 81-year-old Benjamin Franklin spoke up. Now, whenever you look into Benjamin Franklin's history, it's very hard to find anything in terms of a Christian profession. But yet Benjamin Franklin at that stage, as I said, he's 81. He was a great father within America. Many men even, I just learned this the other day, but the average living age at that time, or life expectancy, was around 31 to 33. Benjamin Franklin, still going at 81, he spoke up. And Benjamin Franklin was a man who was convinced of the scripture, Psalm 127, the verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it." He turned to the men and he says, "Gentlemen," he says, "I have lived a long time, and I am convinced that God governs in the affairs of man. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? He went on to say, I move that prayer, imploring the assistance of heaven, be held every morning before we proceed to business. That particular motion was carried by all. And from that day forward, every single day, as they met together to formulate the Constitution of the United States, every day began with prayer. And within a very short period of time, not only did they come to agreement, not only did no one leave, but they produced a document that is still in use today, almost 250 years later. You see, prayer changes things. We began to notice that last time with Jabez. It is a lesson, I believe, that God, by his scribe Ezra, wanted the Israelites to learn and to remember. You'll remember that we mentioned last time the book of the Chronicles, both first and second, was the writings of Ezra as the Israelites were about to head into captivity. There was that desire to put together and to formulate so that as they came out of captivity, there would be the writings, there would be the history of all of Israel, right from Adam right through, of all that God had done. And we began to notice last week, even in the midst of these opening chapters, these opening nine chapters are simply names, lists after lists, and yet on two occasions there are very specific instances when Ezra is impressed by God to highlight the power of prayer. 1 Chronicles 4 and then again 1 Chronicles 5 on the battlefield and how the Israelite people called on to the Lord in a very specific and a very passionate manner, and the Lord preserved them. You remember, if you were with us last time, the name Jabez, it means sorrow. And we looked at the various ways in which he would have been named that, and he would have had that name given to him, whether it be that his mother bore him in sorrow, whether it be that his mother even passed away in his childbirth and gave that name just before she died, whether it be the case that his father had passed away even at the time of the judges, because this is when Jabez lived. We simply don't know. But with Jabez having such a name as sorrow, not much hope was given to him. Not much expectancy of a good life or a great life or a meaningful life was there. And yet that opening part of verse number 9 tells us that Jabez was more honourable than his brethren. Prayer changes things. And so this evening I want us to come and to consider, or begin to consider, the actual prayer that Jabez prayed. Only one prayer in all of Scripture is given to Jabez. And it's only recorded for us once in Scripture. Nowhere else will you hear of Jabez's name. Nowhere else will you hear anyone mention about Jabez's prayer life. But oh, what a prayer it was, even within that one verse. I want us to begin tonight to look at the attributes of prayer. The verse 10, it tells us that Jabez called on the God of Israel, and he said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. You know, there's certainly a lot packed into this one prayer. It's a personal prayer. Jabez begins his prayer and he says, oh, that thou would bless me. And he goes on to say, enlarge my coasts. He goes on to say that thine hand might be with me and that thou wouldst keep me from evil. But the opening line, the opening phrase that he says is, oh, that thou would bless me. That particular type of praying is alien to a lot of Christians. To actually pray for yourself. And yeah, even to prioritize yourself in prayer. Many Christians will pray for their families, will pray for their loved ones, will pray for the work, will pray for their minister, will pray for everything, but many Christians will never, ever pray for themselves. I remember speaking to a young man on one occasion when I was just entering into Bible college. He was telling me of how he prayed for his family. He prayed for his parents to be saved. Of how he prayed for his wife. He prayed for his child. He prayed for all of the different needs and all of the thing. And I says, do you ever pray for yourself? No. Why would I ever pray for myself? He was a man who was willing to pray for every need that arose, for every individual that came across his path, for every individual that he had a connection with. And yet he never prayed for himself. Some do believe in order to be pious that you should never mention self. You shouldn't pray for yourself. Yes, pray for your family, pray for your friends, your neighbors, but never pray for yourself. Yes, hope your family, if they're saved, that hope your family pray for you. Hope your church family pray for you. But never pray for yourself. Let's take it right back to the beginning. The very first genuine and meaningful prayer I would suggest that you ever prayed was for yourself. When you prayed, Lord, save me. Because yes, people pray in their unsaved times. People pray, maybe it be in childhood, they're taught to pray as they grow up. But the very first meaningful prayer that you ever prayed was, Lord, save me. You prayed for yourself. You implored the Lord to have mercy upon you. You cried unto the Lord, just like the publican did in Luke 18. As he stood in the temple, he smote his own breast and he says, God, be merciful to me. He didn't look around like the Pharisee did and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like him. The publican looked at himself and he looked and he smote his own breast and he says, God, be merciful to me. And yet for some, that's the last prayer they will ever pray for themselves. Until maybe in times of great need, start to pray for yourself again. Just like Peter, when he walked in the water, he began to sink. The whole storm going on all around and the waves are crashing in against the boat with all of the disciples on it. But Peter, as he was walking to the Lord, his eyes were taken off the Lord. He begins to sink and he cries, Lord, save me. Remember, the disciples were in trouble in the boat. Storm's a danger to them all. But it took Peter to start to sink through the waves before Peter would ever call upon the Lord for himself again. Sometimes that's the only way that a Christian will actually pray for themselves, is whenever they're in imminent danger or great distress. You know, praying for self is actually scriptural. There have been those throughout time who are recorded in scripture as praying for themselves. We read one this evening, Jabez, oh that thou would bless me indeed. What about Solomon? 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon comes to the throne. God met with him in that dream and he asked him, well, what do you desire? He didn't pray and say, oh Lord, grant my advisors, grant my counselors, grant them great wisdom. No, Solomon asked for wisdom personally. He prayed for himself. You know, I know all of our hearts and in terms of your desire to pray for others. I know each one of us have a prayer list before the Lord, whether it be for your family members to be saved, whether it be for God to work in the area, whether it be for a very specific reason. You have those prayer requests, you have those prayer lists before you when you come to the Lord. But always remember, if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord won't hear you. That's what it says in Psalm 66, 18. I think as well of the words of Psalm 24, who shall ascend into the hill of God or stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. So as we come to pray for others and for other needs, then surely either audibly or inaudibly, There ought to be that prayer to the Lord, Lord, cleanse me afresh. Wash me, I shall be clean. We need to be praying for self, for clean hands, for pure hearts. So that whenever we come before the Lord, seeking to do business with the Lord, seeking to bring our loved ones before the Lord, seeking to have that meaningful time of prayer, seeking to really cry unto the Lord and pour out our hearts unto the Lord, that we have clean hands. And so we must pray for ourselves. We must pray for that fresh cleansing in Christ's blood. It's a personal prayer. I see, secondly, it's also a passionate prayer. Because he begins his words as he called on the God of Israel. He says, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. He pours us all into one phrase. There's an intensity in this petition. If you were writing this in the modern style of writing, you would say, bless me, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. And depending on how good at texting you are, you'll keep going. That's how imperative he is within his petition. That word indeed just carries so much emphasis and exclamation. Lord, bless me. His burden is for God to bless. I see in this man's heart and mind at that moment he has no interest or desire for anything else. Or even to speak to anyone else. When he comes before the Lord, it's only the Lord he wants to talk to. And it's only the Lord that he wants to be with. And it's only the Lord that he wants to have the help from. So he comes before the Lord and he says, oh, that thou would bless me. Always remember, prayer isn't just saying words. The cry in prayer ought to originate in the heart. It's not simply to be words. Some will read prayers, say scripted prayers, and certain of those have their place. The Lord's Prayer. The repetition of the Lord's Prayer is not to be despised or rejected. Some in their desire to not look or to sound like Roman Catholics or Anglicans will run away from all scripted prayers. And so if you were to start the Lord's Prayer and say, right, we're all going to set to finish our service today, there might be some odd looks being given about. We're not to run away from the Lord's Prayer. It has a place within it. It has a special place. After all, it was Christ himself that gave it. But the Lord's Prayer is not to be the sum of our prayers. Christ, after all, he spoke against the using continuously of vain repetitions. There ought to be more to our prayer lives than just saying the Lord's Prayer in the church or even at home. You see, so many that pray in such fashion, just using prayer books or even the Lord's Prayer, and that's all they have, end up cold, impersonal. For some, it's empty praying. But not Jabez. Jabez, as he came before the Lord, such is the heart overwhelmed within him that he just simply cries out, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Such was his need. He just poured it all. He cast it all in the Lord in that instant. It's a personal prayer. It's a passionate prayer. It's a particular prayer. Because he says in this verse, he says, oh, that thou would bless me. What is blessing? To many today, the true meaning of blessing has been lost. If I was to sneeze, I guarantee someone would say, bless you. After COVID, I was thinking about this today, after COVID you might run. You never know. But a little child sneezes, bless you. The people ask what blessing is. It's just said after someone sneezes. Or when a man's seeking to marry his girl, he'll go and seek the blessing of the father. In other words, the approval. Glad I only had to do it once. But what's genuine blessing? What's Jabez saying here? Whenever he says, oh, that thou would bless me. What does he actually mean? True blessing is divine in origin. It's supernatural in its giving. It's infinite in its power. In other words, true blessing is beyond what you or I are capable of formulating. If you were to come to me and say, will you bless me? I can't give you what God can give you. Jabez couldn't settle for what he could find around him. He couldn't settle for what he could make for himself. His best efforts for himself was not a blessing. His mother's love or father's love, whatever the case of his family circle might be at that time, his friend's circle, even those that he was close with, none of them could give him what God could give him. When Jabez prayed, oh, that thou would bless me indeed, it's an awareness and an acceptance that what I have and what I am is nothing compared to what God can give. It's an unwillingness in Jabez's part to accept an existence without the blessing of God. Sadly, there are those who will go through life without ever looking for that blessing. Proverbs 10 and the verse 22, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of God, there's no sorrow in God's blessing. But there's richness. You think of the Israelite people, they come up out of Egypt. They start that journey into the wilderness and they're making their way through that first part of the journey. And you think of all the many people that were gathered together. Sometimes try and picture in my mind, what did they look like? If you were standing up on a mountain and you just looked down into the valley and there was all of the Israelites, what would that have looked like? Come to the conclusion it wouldn't have been pretty. You think of all of the disputes Moses had to deal with. It tells us in the book of Exodus he sat from morning to night just trying to sort out their disagreements. He tired himself out. That's why his father-in-law Jethro came and had a word with him and says, look, you need to sort this, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to burn yourself out just dealing with all of these people and all of their problems. Is it any wonder whenever you come then to the book of Numbers in the chapter 6, to a place that's known as the Aaronic blessing. Numbers 6 in the verse 24. Verse 22 tells us, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, unto his sons, saying, in this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And you think of it, Moses was doing his best. Moses was seeking to lead these people as best as he possibly could. And all of these people, at that stage, they're coming up out. There's joy in their hearts. We're out of Egypt, but yet how quickly the joy turned to discontentment and even to bitterness. God sends that message. Tell Aaron, whenever he's blessing the people, say unto them in this wise, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance unto thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God intervenes and God shows them, and God states it so clearly, without the blessing of God, you have nothing. And without the blessing of God, you will be nothing. Just wonder. You can apply that to the church today. And you can apply that to your own life. Without the blessing of God, this church will never be anything. Without the blessing of God individually, you will never be anything. It's the same as me. It's the same as every single one of our churches. If God's blessing is not upon a work, then there is no work. You know, it's interesting, this first phrase of Jabez's prayer. Whilst I say it's a particular prayer, because he says, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. In another sense, it's not particular at all. Because he leaves the style of blessing, the scope of blessing, completely in the Lord's hands. He doesn't ask for one thing. He just leaves it before the Lord and he just says, Lord, bless me. He leaves it with the Lord that the Lord would decide what the blessing would be, when the blessing would be, where the blessing would be, and how Jabez would receive it. In that vein of thought, therefore, he is completely throwing himself upon the mercy of the Lord. Because in that moment, he realized the greatest benefit to his life. And the thing that has the ultimate value for his life is the blessing of God. That's a wonderful place to find yourself, isn't it? Whenever you have no desire for anything else other than you receive God's blessing, whatever that blessing may be. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God can abound and does abound his blessings and his mercies and his graces towards his people. That you will have sufficiency in all things. Lord, bless me. Such simple words. And yet the vastness, the magnitude of those words. Because whenever you cry, Lord, bless me, you're handing that petition into the greatness and the goodness of God. Isn't God a God who daily loads us with benefits? You know, I have preached in the past, if you remember, I did preach about being specific in prayer in relation to Bartimaeus outside of Jericho. Well, whenever we go on further into this prayer of Jabez, as you'll see, he gets more specific. There is a time to be specific in prayer, and there's a time just simply to leave it in the Lord's hands. And Jabez, as he starts his prayer, he just simply says, oh, that thou would bless me. And Lord, whatever that blessing is in your sovereign will, Lord, I'm ready and willing to receive it. What a prayer. Yeah, even what a commencement to prayer. And we'll return again next week, God willing, to look further at the prayer of Jabez. May the Lord bless it to our hearts this evening.